Uncle York's a fine old feller, gonna be our storyteller. Been around for a century, keeping an eye on you and me. A poking here and a poking there, he's got a pine tree for his hair. Ticker tape for an artery, engine setting on his knee.
I'm your storyteller, Uncle York. I've been around a long time. My eyes have seen everything that's ever happened in New York State. I'm craggy, and I'm old. I watched the Dutch moor their ships in Manhattan. I helped the vineyard planters of the Lake Counties. I helped cut the white pine of the Adirondacks. The story I'm going to tell you today has been produced and transcribed by the New York State Department of Commerce. Dedicated to all the men and women everywhere through whose courage and enterprise we enjoy our freedom's blessings. I want to tell you about a story that began at a breakfast table in Rochester. And it was in the 1870s, about the time of Kit Custer. But the fellow sitting at the table was a thin young bank clerk. So thin, his mother was kind of worried about him.
George Eastman, you're getting thin as pie crust. I'm going to make you another batch of wheat cakes, and I want you to eat them, every single one.
Sorry, Mother, I won't have time.
You ought to take a vacation, son. Or better yet, take up a hobby. Whatever happened about that photography you used to be interested in?
Oh, where in Tophet's my hat?
Right here, dear, right here.
Oh. Say, if I did take a vacation, maybe I'd take my camera along.
Oh, George, with all that equipment, well, you couldn't carry anything else. Well, you forgot your scarf.
Oh, thanks. Gosh, wouldn't it be wonderful to take a trip to some tropical place and take a camera along? Just think, you'd have a diary and pictures.
Oh, but George, last time you went out to take pictures, well, you were all tuckered out just from carrying your equipment. You spent all day and only got one good photograph.
Oh, I'd need some lessons before going on a real trip, Mother.
Lessons in photography?
Yes. Why not? There must be a professional photographer here in Rochester. Tell you what, when I get home tonight, I'm going to look him up and see what he'll charge me to teach me what he knows.
Hello. Oh, was that you, Mr. Strong?
Yes, Mrs. Eastman. Say, what on earth is George doing in front of the house? Is he camping out there for his vacation?
Well, what do you mean?
The tent. George and that fellow have a little tent set up.
Oh, that's a dark tent. George is taking photography lessons.
Oh, for heaven's sake. What's the tent for?
Isn't that terrible? They have to coat the plates in the dark with the wet emulsion, you know, just before they take a picture. He's practicing taking photographs of the house.
Oh, I didn't know it was so complicated.
Oh, yes. He has to load the camera in a dark place, and then he has to take a photograph right away while the plate's wet. And besides that, he has to keep all the chemicals handy for developing.
Well, I'll have to go out and bait George a little on his new hobby. What is it they call those photography fellas? A night of the black art?
Yeah? George was a camera bug already. Just an amateur, but he got so interested, sweating away in the little dark tent with his collodion and his silver nitrate and all the paraphernalia. First thing he knew, he was spending every spare minute away from the bank taking pictures. The boarder in the Eastman household, Mr. Henry Strong, kept a sharp eye on the young fellow. One night late, he found George in the kitchen.
Why, George Eastman, I thought I heard burglars down here. What are you doing down here so late?
I might ask you the same thing, Henry.
Well, I was just going to burgle a piece of your mother's cherry pie.
Sit down, Henry. I've stumbled onto something good.
Now, listen, you shouldn't be keeping these late hours, George. You look dead.
I've found a way to simplify photography.
You look as though you've been swimming in that nitrate.
Oh, that's nothing. Now, listen, will you? I read an article in the London Photography Journal with a formula for a dry plate.
Oh, you mean it eliminates that messy, wet emulsion?
Yes, and I've tried this dry plate formula over and over, and I think I've improved on it.
You mean no more dark tint and bottles of chemicals? You mean a photographer can leave his pack mule at home?
Well, that's it, Henry. And tomorrow, the minute I get home from the bank, I'm going to try it out. So just pray for sunshine.
The eternal hope of the camera fiend, the sunny day. Yeah, That was the year 1879. Well, all that Saturday, George took pictures. Everything went wrong. He got cloudy the wrong moment, and Miss Hasty dropped his bottle of formula and had to start all over. But finally, back in the kitchen of the little Easton house.
Oh, poor George. I hope this comes out, Mr. Strong. He's banking so much on it, and it'll save him all that fuss and bother.
Not only George, it'll save trouble for a lot of people.
Here's your photograph of the house, Mother. Don't touch it yet. It's not quite dry.
Oh, George, it's wonderful. Why, you can even see where the house needs paint.
What do you think, Henry?
Well, I'd say it's the best photograph you've made.
You see, in spite of all the things that went wrong in advance, once I got the dry plate made, taking the photograph and developing it were comparatively simple.
Yes, in just about half the usual time. I think you've got something, George.
I'd like to know what other photographers might think of it. Professionals, I mean. I'm going to make up some dry plates and send them around the country.
Oh, now, don't forget, George, this started out to be just a hobby. You mustn't neglect the bank, you know.
Oh, banking and insurance are all right, Mother, but I've been doing that since I was 14. Now, for the first time in my life, I'm really having fun.
George, being a cautious fella, kept his job at the bank. In a short time, though, he opened a little dry plate company in a room over a music store. He worked there every night and every weekend. Then one Saturday night, his mother was sitting in the parlor with Henry Strong, waiting for George to come home.
Hello, Mother. Oh, hello, Henry. Say, I've got some good news.
George, Mr. Strong and I intend
to... Now, wait a minute. Don't you want to hear my good news?
All right, son. I guess nobody can stop you. Well, what is it?
My machine. I've got it working. It coats the plates mechanically.
What's this? What machine?
Well, I didn't want to say anything in case it didn't turn out, but I've worked out a way to coat dry plates mechanically. My machine does it better and quicker than you can do it by hand, and it's cheap. Mass production, that's the thing.
Well, this sounds very impressive, George. When can we see it?
Oh, Henry, I'm so worked up now I couldn't go to bed. Come on down to the shop with me now. I'll show you how...
George Eastman, don't you dare leave this house. I've got a sandwich for you in the kitchen, and you're going straight to bed.
You mean you're going to put plates on market on big scale, George, or do you want to sell these machines?
I'm going to patent the machine and sell dry plates to jobbers all over the country. Europe, too.
You're going to need capital. If you're going on it in a big scale like that...
Well, I've got $3,000 saved. That'll do for a start. But I'll need some investors, too. How'd you like to be a partner, Henry?
That was the simple start of the Eastman Dry Plate Company, Strong and Eastman proprietors. Now, George quit his job at the bank. And his hobby carried him straight into a new and challenging industry. Well, hardly an industry yet. But George's new dry plate was destined to help it grow big. He had 6 people working for him that winter, turning out the plates, which went to his jobbers on a contract basis, so many each month. Winter was a slack season, of course, and the new little company waited for spring, like the photographer waits for a sunny day. But instead of spring sunshine, there was literally a spring flood of letters pouring into the little office of George Eastman.
Joe, those plates we bought last winter are just no good.
Yeah, I know. Emulse is dead, Bill.
Dry plates are just plain useless.
The emulsion, of course. The jobbers didn't keep track of the stock. They used the new stuff first and left the old plates in stock. We'll have to make it good, that's all.
Make it good? Well, where's the money coming from, George? You and I both have put in $5,000 already.
If we're going to build a business, Henry, we've got to build it on a good, solid foundation. Now, we had a wonderful start. This was just a stroke of bad luck, the emulsion not keeping over the winter.
But you'll have to work out another formula.
Sure, Henry, but we can do it. We'll close the factory for a while and find out what's wrong. Then we'll start again and send good new plates to everyone who's had bad ones.
So they called back all the plates they had made that winter. And George went back to work with his gelatin and nitrate and collodion. Then came the real blow. His emulsion wouldn't work. Try as he would, George Eastman couldn't duplicate the first batch. It looked like the end of the little company.
469. If it doesn't work this time, I give up.
469 experiments. All recorded in his tattered notebooks. Then he got one that looked promising. But the bottle broke, and he lost the whole thing. George Eastman was absolutely unable to duplicate his first emulsion formula. Eventually, after months of work, he found his formula trouble stemmed from a batch of poor gelatin. But his company's name was so good after taking back the bad plates, he had no trouble starting up again. As soon as he'd gotten a new emulsion, he started making dry plates again.
Henry, if we could get rid of this glass plate, we could make photography simple enough for a child.
Oh, good heavens, George. After all the trouble you went to get an emulsion?
We'll use our emulsion, only not on glass. If there were some way to apply it to paper, a roll of paper coated with a thin film of emulsion, you could load the camera with that instead of with a plate.
He kept mulling that idea around, till finally, with a fellow named Walker, Eastman designed an attachment to hold a roll of paper film. They called it a roll holder, and it did away entirely with the need of having a plate in your camera. And then...
Henry, if we could make a camera that's self-contained, a compact unit that anybody could take pictures with, maybe we could sell it already loaded, and people could send the whole camera back to the factory to have the film developed.
That's how the Kodak was born. Soon to become a household word. Why, Gilbert and Sullivan even put Eastman's slogan into an operetta. You press the button, we do the rest. And the price of the simplified camera, starting at $25, slowly went down to a small fraction of that. Eastman had accomplished his purpose.
Uncle York's a fine old feller. He has been our storyteller.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, knowing the story of that amateurish beginning, that right here in New York State, there's over 160 companies making photographic equipment. Yeah, as long as New York's industries don't stand still, they'll keep on adding to our freedom's lessons.